we struggle also. We have the struggle that we must win that comes from within. Romans 7, 18 and 19, he says, and this is the part that goes, that is just prior to our text, actually. He says, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." You ever feel the struggle? You know, I remember many years ago in one of the funny papers, and there was this little kid with a pointed head. Many years ago, this is when I was a kid, see. You don't know, most of you people don't go back that far. But this little kid was called Denny Dimwit. And on one shoulder, he had an angel sitting and talking to him, telling him what to do. And the other shoulder, he had the devil, or a devil, sitting and telling him what to do. And they had these arguments going on. And I kind of empathized with that. You know, the struggle within. How are we going to win? And so, we find it difficult. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Romans 7, 22 and 23, going on. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Romans 7, 24 and 25 goes on to say, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You know, this is the thing that confronts us in our lives in the struggle as we face the temptations, as Satan seeks to try to subdue us and bring us under his power. And as we try to break away and go on to victory in him, in Christ. I thank God, he says, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the solution. Here's where we can gain victory. I see people come into the church many times who are beaten down and overwhelmed and suffering and struggling with the powers of under the powers of sin. Alcohol, drugs, the problems of bad relationships, all kinds of things that hurt them and tear them down and make it difficult for them. And I find Christ getting hold of their lives and a change is being made. New lives and ultimately their children beginning to get hold of things and have them resolved. And I thank God that we have victory in Christ. Our deliverance begins, according to Romans, the 8th chapter. He gives a solution. You see, first he lays out the problem. He says, here's my problem I'm struggling with, or I've struggled with. And he says, who's going to deliver me from this? And then he says, here in Romans 8, 1 and 2, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hope, solutions, answers in Christ. The world doesn't have them. The sociologists don't have them. The revisionists, the political system, and all the rest of the stuff, they're always following after trying to solve the problem by throwing money at it or some kind of new inventions of perceptions, ideas. about how we can change people or through science or something else. He says there is no condemnation, though, to them that are in Christ Jesus. You know, a lot of people have the idea, well, just quit feeling guilty or change the law and make it legal no matter what happens. But they don't seem to get the message that the change, the real solution, is in Christ. There's where the real answers lie. And they're fiddling around and trying to change this and change that, and society's constantly changing and they're not getting any better. They keep having the same problems. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Let's see the three major things that will make this change. First, the Spirit of God. In verses 5 through 11 of Romans 8, he says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." The Spirit of God. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the fleshly mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." If we're going to live a life that just do what the flesh says, then we're not going to be pleasing to God. And we're not going to solve our problems, because they have to come from being in Christ and solved through Christ. The Spirit of God is given to us to help us to solve these problems. "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." We have to have the Spirit of Christ, and without that, we have no solution. "And if Christ be you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you." And then Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities," or our weaknesses. Do you ever feel kind of weak, kind of incapable? The struggle of just to be able to go on sometimes. "So we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." The Holy Spirit works within us and strengthens us and helps praise for us. The second thing that moves for success, or gives us success and victory, is the plan of God. You see, we aren't just doing this of ourselves. It's not a bootstrap operation. We've got somebody that's working for us. We have the Spirit of God in us, and we have God having a plan from the foundation of the world to give us life in him and salvation and victory in him. Romans 8:28-32 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." He had a plan. He called us. And if we're in him, all things work together for good. It may seem bad, but it's going to work to your good. Read the book of Job. You know, God had a plan. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? How can anything else stop us? If we're with God, God has a plan. God wants us to have victory. And we will have victory. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God went to the point of being willing to give his own son for us, what is going to be able to stop our victory in him? We're going to win. The third thing that gives us victory is the Son of God. His work and his strength, he gave himself for us. He's the Son of God. Romans 8:35-37 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" How is it possible that we can be separated from the love of Christ? We have something going for us. No matter what else happens, no matter what anyone else does, no matter if we have a recession or if we lose our possessions or if we're dragged before the courts, whatever, we are going to win because we can't be separated from the love of Christ. Shall tribulation, difficulties, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or wickedness, or peril, or sword? How are those things going to be able to separate us from the love of Christ? No. Because we have the love of Christ that cannot be broken. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. This word, more than conquerors, is really just one word in the Greek. Hupernapkao. And it equals this whole term. It's actually made of two words. Huper, which means more than, and which in the English we get the words super and hyper from, plus nikao, which means to conquer. We are more than conquerors. Conquering the world within. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And then he goes on to explain, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Notice those three basic struggles that we have from within. The lust, these things actually are encapsulated clear back in the book of Genesis. In the case of Eve and Adam, the woman looked upon the fruit and it looked good, and she... looked good for eating, and it was to make one wise. And those basic things, she would be like God. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And then when Jesus was tempted, you remember, those were the same temptations. You know, I'll give you this whole world, and you can be so great. Look, all the kingdoms of the earth, and I'll make some bread for you out of, if you just make the stones turn to bread, and so on. The same kind of temptations, because he was hungry. They're not of the Father, but is of the world. And we need to recognize the dangers there. Get our eyes on Christ and not on ourselves. And the world passes away, and the lusts thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Here's the two things. The world and the flesh are temporary. Only what's with Christ is permanent. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4 says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. See what we're fighting here? 5:16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. See how these things work against us? If we walk in the Spirit, we won't be fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. We need to conquer fear. President Roosevelt, I remember, in the Depression times, he said the greatest thing that we have to fear is fear itself. As people are discouraged, they give up, they wouldn't work, they wouldn't spend, everything closed down. We can't go on. And we face these things from time to time, difficulties, obstacles, and we look at those and they look so big. But the actual fact is that if we can conquer our fear, we can triumph against all odds through Christ who strengthens us. 2 Corinthians 7:5 says, for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, and within were fears. Paul struggled with those same kind of difficulties. 1 John 4:18 and 19 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So if we get our eyes on Christ and the love of Christ and our love for him, the other things we'll overcome. He that fears is not made perfect in love. If we're going to Jesus talked about these same things, you know. He talked about not worrying about the morrow. He says, God's taking care of you. He takes care of the birds. He takes care of the lilies. He can take care of you. The issue is, do we trust God? We love him because he first loved us. That's what this is all about. We've got to keep our love directed on his love. We need to realize how much he cared for us. And then we, in turn, can really care for him. We care. We love him because he first loved us. He didn't say, when you get ready to love me, then I'll love you. No. He said, I love you and I'm going to give for you and give you the opportunity to love. And that's why we love. Luke 12, 31, 32 says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Get our eyes on Christ and what he has, his kingdom, and then these other things will be taken care of. We'll have victory in him. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 10 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's us, this body, this clay vessel. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are not strong in ourselves. We, like an earthen vessel, can be crushed and broken. But the excellency of the power of God is what sustains us, not through our bootstrap operations, not, hey, shape it up there, you know, your things are tough, so just pick yourself up by the back of the neck, you know, and we're going to go on. No, we're not big enough for that. The power of God is the source of the excellency that we have as a vessel. We are troubled on every side, Paul says, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Here's somebody who has got it right, and that's how we need to face adversity and difficulties and disappointments. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Conquering death itself. The ultimate victor appears. From a human standpoint, it looks like it's the end. Nothing beyond. The body dies, put in a grave, it's over. But we are going to conquer death too. 1 Corinthians 15:54-58 says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know not that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, we don't always know what will come of what we do. But with Christ, we know that we are going to have victory. And we know that our labor is not in vain. We haven't wasted our time. Sometimes it seems like, do you ever feel like you're just wasting your time? Like you're just not going any place? Like, what am I here for? Sometimes we kind of get that. I'm kind of really bad. I'm human. And I struggle with sometimes, where are we going? How are we going to, you know, you get to have a pity party? Begin to talk with yourself and about how bad things are in the world? Well, we need to look up and see Jesus instead of looking down at how bad things are on the earth. Revelation 21:3-4 says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Paul, at the end of his life, just before he was to be taken, have his head cut off, said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. In Romans 8, 37 through 39, bring us back to our text. It says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God! You know, we've got something going for us. We're going to win! We're going to have victory in Christ. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Thank you very much. Let's be standing and sing our song closing.